Please rise. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, beginning there at verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who prepared for the cross by means of prayer, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. How do you get ready for every day? I'm not asking about the mundane things like obeying your alarm, rising from bed, showering, brushing your teeth, and eating. I assume we all do these things. When you have a pretty good idea what your day is going to be like, do you prepare yourself for it? Do you take some time to mentally get ready for the day? Or do you just kind of plunge into life and let it happen? Would you prepare for the day if you knew exactly, moment by moment, what was going to happen to you? I would think so. The Spirit of God tells us in the Gospel of John that Jesus knew all things that would come upon him before they happened. How did Jesus prepare to go to the cross? He prepared two ways. First of all, he began by preparing his disciples for the things that they would see when he was crucified. And he didn't wait till the last moment either. Weeks earlier, along the road, on the way up to Jerusalem, he took aside his disciples and he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again." But Jesus didn't stop preparing his disciples then either. In fact, during the entire week leading up to his crucifixion, he did the same thing. He taught them and he comforted them and he prepared them for the shocking events they were about to see. Even the night before, the night that he was betrayed, after the Passover meal, and after the institution of the Lord's Supper, which we celebrate this morning, Jesus took the time to prepare his disciples. He also prepared himself for the things that would happen to him. And we find him doing that very thing when we follow him to Gethsemane with his disciples. And it's there that a first of a number of remarkable incidents took place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have invited us to come to you with whatever is on our hearts. You have promised to hear and answer us for Jesus' sake. You often give us more than we can ask or imagine. When we waver or hesitate to pray, strengthen our faith in your promises found in your word. Give us courage to come to you with everything in life. Make us bold to pray, confident that you will hear and answer our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." After spending much of the evening comforting his astonished and confused disciples, we're told here that the Savior Jesus led them out one of the eastern gates of Jerusalem and down into the valley and across the brook Kidron and up the hill on the other side, which was called the Mount of Olives. The road that passed that way went up over the hill to the city of Bethany, 2 miles away. But along the way, there was a place that Jesus and his disciples often stopped. It's called Gethsemane, according to Matthew's Gospel and Mark's Gospel. Gethsemane is an Aramaic word that means oil press. And it's for that reason that many believe in this garden there were olive trees that were used for the purpose of gathering olive oil. Jesus' disciples, including Judas, who wasn't there at the time, knew the place because they had spent the evening there all but one night that week. When Jesus and his disciples entered the Garden of Gethsemane, it was either very late on Thursday night or perhaps the very early morning hours of Good Friday. But Jesus didn't direct them to the different places where they had slept the nights before. He instead said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." The word that's used here indicates that Jesus didn't just encourage his disciples to offer up a quick little prayer for themselves or for him, but that he was urging them to continue to pray that their faith would stand. Why would they need to pray that? But remember, Jesus knew what was going to happen. In a few short hours, Judas and a detachment of troops would come and arrest him, and by early the next morning, he would be dead, having been crucified. Those events would be hard on the disciples who had been following Jesus for 3 years. And so Jesus wanted them to prepare. And what better way than to pray that their faith would not fail, their faith in Jesus? Jesus had warned them beforehand, and you heard it in our gospel lesson, that Satan was coming for them, especially for Peter. "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." You remember in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus had urged his disciples to pray with the words that we still do today, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." When Jesus told them to pray lest they fall into temptation, he was really saying the same thing over again. And we can't help but wonder if those disciples had done what Jesus asked them to do. If they had earnestly prayed that evening, we wonder if their reactions on Easter Sunday would have been different. Would they have rejoiced with the women who first brought news that the Savior's body was no longer in the tomb, instead of doubting them? Would the Emmaus disciples have been filled with hope instead of despair? We can't say with any kind of certainty. But one thing is for certain. We should take Jesus' encouragement here to heart and prepare ourselves for every one of our days in the same way. Whether our prospective itinerary is mundane or full of anxious decisions, we should begin by praying that the trials that we face do not lead us to doubt or to loss of faith in Christ, but serve to make us joyful and confident in Him. And he, Jesus, was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, these events are described in each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each of those accounts are just a little bit different. Luke's happens to be the shortest of all of them. The other accounts tell us that when Jesus came to Gethsemane, he separated himself from eight of his disciples a stone's throw. He took with him three disciples, Peter, James, and John, who witnessed these things. It was customary among the Jews to stand when they're praying, kind of like we do sometimes during worship. But on this occasion, Jesus knelt and even later fell on his face as he prayed. What did he pray? You have the words in front of you. He prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What cup is he talking about? Not a cup that you drink from, but his suffering and death, which is described here as a cup he had to drink. Now, there are some people who look at Jesus' words and then question whether he was willing to die for us. We won't do anything like that here. We have no idea what it was like for a perfect human being to deal with bearing the sin and the guilt of the entire world. We have trouble dealing with guilt over small, sometimes trivial things. What would it be like to be saddled with everyone's sin and everyone's feeling of guilt all at once? It wasn't that Jesus was afraid to die. And we won't pretend that Satan left him alone by himself. But we also won't question Jesus' commitment to us. He simply asked that if it were possible that we be saved some other way, that happened. But in the end, he didn't say, I don't want to die. He didn't say, I don't want to do this. He prayed, your will be done. You decide, Heavenly Father. So let's make it real for a moment. Let's suppose that you knew that you were going to die horribly in a couple of hours. What would you do? How would you prepare? Would you call your family together? Maybe call the pastor? Would you call the insurance company to check on the benefits? Would you talk to the funeral director? Jesus urged his disciples to pray to prepare for it, and that's how Jesus himself prepared for it. And it was at some point during Jesus praying that one of the more remarkable events of Holy Week took place, where it's just described here in Luke. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Perhaps you remember it happened one other time during Jesus' earthly ministry, after he was tempted by the devil 40 days in the wilderness, that the Heavenly Father sent angels to strengthen him. Remember, Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully human. And after 40 days of being tested and 40 days without food in the wilderness, well, we would be weak too. The scripture says, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And here for a second time, at a time of intense testing, an angel was sent to help the humanity of Jesus to be strengthened and renewed. As God, he didn't need help. But as a man, he was weak. In fact, the letter to the Hebrews, you'll find it in the back of your Bible, gives us more insight into Jesus' agony that night when it says of Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who believe, who obey him. While it isn't revealed in the Gospels, the Holy Spirit here says that Jesus prayed, crying out with tears to him who was able to deliver him from death. Wow. We've all felt stress and the pressure of it. But like that? He was under such stress that we're told here that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Notice the word like, by the way. It says that Jesus' sweat was like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It does not say his sweat became great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So what's the big question? Was Jesus' prayer heard? Absolutely. According to what I read from the book of Hebrews, he was heard and answered. The angel came and strengthened him to complete the work of dying on the cross. But what was God's answer to his prayer? It was that there was only one way to save sinners. And that was if God's Son died for every sin. Yes, it was a truly remarkable event when an angel appeared and strengthened Jesus. But he was also strengthened by his prayer. And when he arose from that prayer, he was focused and committed to complete your rescue from sin and from death. It says, when he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Jesus was ready, but they weren't yet. They still needed to pray. How are we prepared for daily life? We are prepared by praying that the Lord Jesus keep us from any temptation that might do damage to our faith in him. We're prepared, moreover, for the day of our death by trusting in Jesus' life, that it has removed our debt of sin, his death, and his glorious resurrection set us free from death eternal. I guess the familiar hymn is the best way to put it. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. And the peace of God, which serves to strengthen our faith in Christ, keep you until everlasting life. Amen.